your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE. Live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongpineAuto.com. I'm Greg Ray. Tim Miller is taking the weekend off, and we've got a few things to talk about on this Saturday morning. One of them will be track and field, high school level, and Emporia High qualifying six athletes for six events yesterday at the regional meet hosted by Emporia High at Welch Stadium. We'll be talking with and be joined by Emporia High track and field coach Randy Wells here in just a few moments, but also a number of area athletes also earning their trip to state, which will begin this upcoming Friday in Wichita at Cessna Stadium. Back to the normal format, I guess you could say, after COVID changed the schedule last year to two classifications on a single day for three straight days, and then unfortunately, 2 years ago, no state track meet, but it's everybody competes on Friday and Saturday. In the morning, it'll be 4, 5, and 6A, and in the afternoon, it'll be 3, 2, and 1A, and then Saturday, everybody will be on the track as the finals will be held, and it's always a fun time to be in Wichita at Cessna Stadium. Emporia High Girls Swim and Dive Team, also a final day of their season. Two divers will be competing today in the finals, and Cadiz Vincent going in second place in the standings and going in to today's competition, and also J.C. Stettler will be competing in the finals in that competition as well. We'll run down how the girls' swim team did yesterday later on. But with that, we will welcome in Emporia High track and field coach Randy Wells. He joins us on the Settleton Studio Line. Free in-store pickup available on thousands of items when you buy online at Settleton's. Good morning, Coach Wells.
Good morning to you, Greg.
Well, did you get much sleep last night?
Yeah, I got a pretty good. I sleep pretty good because we work pretty hard. So at the end of the day, it's pretty easy to go to sleep. So yeah, I think all in all, in here working right now, getting things prepared and ready to go, and looking at the meet from last night, because unfortunately when you host a meet like that, you don't get to see a lot of your kids compete. You're just going the whole time. So looking at things right now as we speak, as a matter of fact. So,
well, this year, six athletes qualifying for six events, a little bit lower than what we're normally used to seeing, but some good competition at the regional yesterday, and that's the one thing we need to point out is yesterday that was a very competitive regional, a lot of good track teams that were involved with that, but your team, I guess the best way to put this year, it's quality over quantity, because you have a couple guys who picked up regional championships, and then a number of PRs were set yesterday by athletes, and some of them that didn't qualify for state, but of the six you'll be sending, all of them have a chance to get up on the podium at the end of their competition.
That's correct, Greg. Every kid that's going for us, they have a legitimate shot to be anywhere in the top eight and be on the podium, and that's the goal, you know, from day one for us, is to go into the practice and meet, preparing to get as many kids into the state meet as we can. And when you host, every time we kind of host a regional, which we've done many of them, and, you know, I'd like to thank all the people that helped us, all the workers, all the EHS staff, ESU student athletes helped us, my staff, all of our kids that helped. It's a huge undertaking. Big time commitment involved. But the kids that are going for us, they do have a legitimate shot to medal and place in the state track meet, which is a great accomplishment. And there's no question about that. Our regional was loaded going in. We knew there would be athletes from a number of schools that would not qualify to the state meet when they probably should. That's just the nature of the regional sometimes.
Now, and sometimes you have an athlete who just steps up and has their best effort of the season, and that's what you're looking for from your athletes, to get to this time of the season and have some of their best performances, and hope that there's even better ones for them next week with the state. But you know, before we talk about the six athletes that you're taking to state, the one thing I wanted you to talk about a little bit, and since you're going over you know, the results from last week, you probably noticed you had a lot of athletes who didn't qualify for state, who had their season best performances, and for me, that's one of the neat things about covering track and field, is that an athlete may not have finish in first place, but if they have personal bests, they have PRs in their competition, there's not much more you can ask for from that individual.
Yeah, that's all we ask for our kids. Pretty much every meet is, you know, can you be accountable to yourself? Can you be accountable to your teammates? And can you try to get close to your PR? And then at the end of the season, we want to be right on those PRs all the time. And I'm still tallying them up, but right now we're at about 14 PRs, which is pretty good for a varsity meet at that level. So we're pretty excited about our kids. We have a lot of young kids on our team as well. You know, unfortunately for our seniors, this is the last hurrah for them, and they'll go on to bigger and better things as well.
Well, and as you mentioned to your team, when you talked to them after the meet and congratulating them on an outstanding season that they had, and congratulating those that had qualified for state, you got a lot of young athletes who got their feet wet in a regional competition and hopefully found out, you know, hey, I want to earn that trip to state. I want to be knowing, want that euphoric feel of knowing, hey, I qualified for state and I'm going to be competing for maybe one of the top competitors in the state in my event.
Oh, certainly. We had a lot of kids. You know, we normally would not fill our top three spots in a meet. But when we're at home, we're going to do that. And plus, it's a valuable learning experience for our kids to understand that pressure at that level, because that's how it's going to be at the state meet, obviously. And the state meet is a reward for the season. For once you put in all the work and all the preparation and all the accountability that goes with it, and, you know, track and field is not an easy thing to do, obviously. And you do have to be at practice every day and all those things that come with it. We've got some valuable experience and some valuable lessons from last night. So,
yeah. And while I was walking around on the infield talking to a few people, and sometimes for your younger athletes, it's learning how to compete at that level. Sometimes if you see a guy in front of you or a gal in front of you, go catch them. And sometimes that has to be been there, done that type of scenario. And sometimes learning how to compete at that level, that's valuable for them, and hopefully it will pay off for them in the years to come.
Yeah, you're correct. You know, when you're at that level in a meet like this where everybody is good, you got to raise your level of accountability, you got to raise your level of preparation and what you do it during the week. Everything has to be perfect. And until you go through that experience, you really don't understand. We can tell them and we can prepare them, but until you've been in that situation, you really don't understand until you've gone through it.
And then somewhere along the line, that has to be one of the fun parts in the rewarding parts of coaching, when you see the light bulb go on or the light switch go on for an athlete, all of a sudden, hey, I've got this figured out. I know how to make myself a better athlete and how to compete and how to go out and win and get qualified for state and get qualified for other events.
Yeah, that's one of the really things that keeps our staff going. And, you know, my staff, Coach Tuttle, Coach Thornton, Coach Atkins, Coach Green, Coach Robinson, Coach McCracken, they all do a fabulous job. You know, in the course of the meet like that, you know, I don't have to tell those guys to do anything. They take care of things. And that preparation that they put in and the time they put in, you know, people don't understand the time commitment that's involved behind track and field, behind the scenes. It's a huge commitment, and those guys do a good job. And we're excited about where we're going with this thing.
And it's not only just the varsity meets that they're involved with and the varsity athletes, but you also have JV track meets every once in a while, and they have those responsibilities as well. So once you start track practice the last part of February through the basically the end of May, I'm guessing those your assistant coaches don't get to spend much time at home.
No, they don't. It's a long haul, you know, especially when you go to a track meet. And normally we leave around noon or so, and then we probably don't get home till midnight or one. So that's it's a huge commitment, and I certainly appreciate all the work that those people do as well.
We're visiting with Emporia High track and field coach Randy Wells here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, and let's talk about the six that you're going to be going to state with. And I'm going to start with Kyle Obermeyer, who won the 110 hurdles, finished second the 300 hurdles, and was part of the 4x400 relay that finished in second place. He had a first-place finish in the 110 hurdles and second in the 300 hurdles. And talking to him after the track meet, he said he wanted to there were four events he would have liked to have competed in, but you were conserving his energy and got him qualified. He qualified in all three events that he was in. He's turning out to be a really, really good track athlete for you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a very well-rounded kid. His level of commitment and his effort that he puts in every day is unmatched. I mean, the kid just wants to succeed in everything he does. And if you notice, he's big into theater. He does another sport. He plays football as well. I mean, he does a number of things in our school. Academically, he's solid. If he could be in 10 events, he'd be in 10 events. That's the type of kid he is. He will always over-prepare, and the effort level, you know, as far as every day, a kid that tries his best every single day, he is the role model.
Is he a kid in college that could be a decathlete?
It could be a possibility, but, you know, I think he's going to continue to improve in the hurdles, and Coach Atkins has done a great job with him. He can do a number of different things. It could be a possibility for him.
Well, and another kid who falls into kind of that same category, Fred Jackson. He wins the 400-meter dash and was also part of the 4x400 relay that finished second place. And Fred Jackson is one of those kids, when he's out there, he seems to be giving his best.
Yeah, Fred's another kid that once he figures out in his preparation every day, once he figures out that, hey, am I going to give my best effort every single day and not worry about all the other stuff around me, he's going to continue to improve as well.
And both Kyle and Fred have another year left, so they're only juniors, so that's going to be a nice foundation to build next year's track team around.
Yeah, you know, you always try to build a track team around the 4x4 and the 400-meter. When you can get six or eight kids that can really lay it down in a 400-meter, you've got to potentially to be a pretty good track team, because those kids can go up, they can go down, they can do a number of things. And you know, right now in our guys 4x4, we're pretty decent there. I think the challenge for them is to, if they're in the top five in the state meet, they can shake my head a little bit. So I think they're overly motivated for that for some reason.
And talking about that 4x4, Cooper Reck is a part of that. He also qualified in the 400-meter dash, and then Blake Spellman is the fourth member of that 4x4 relay, and both of those are underclassmen. So this is a four group of athletes that could really have a fun year next year. Not only that, but they can really have a good finish to this season.
Yeah, they could be, you know, if they continue to grow, we're going to have a good, solid, hard 2 days. Monday and Tuesday in preparation, and then Thursday is going to be our travel day, and then Friday's competition. So Monday and Tuesday is going to have to be pretty heavy. But that group, they're going to come and they're going to try to work hard every day to get ready and get better.
And then also qualifying for state of freshman, Dagan True in the 3,200 meter run. He finished third. And I know that Coach Robinson was talking to him after the 1,600 meter run. That's one of those scenarios where if you see a guy in front of you, you need to go catch him. Dagan's still learning how to race at the 5A level and run at the high school level. And, boy, I'm so excited to see what he can do. He comes from a long line of distance runners in his family. He has two older brothers that are running at the collegiate level and has a sister that also runs distances. And Dagan has a chance to be a pretty good distance runner for you.
Yeah, he's going to be a good one. There's no question about that. Mike's done a great job with him, keeping him level and even keeled. But he's, I believe he plays fifth in the 1600, and he was third in the 3200. So he's another kid that works hard, is very goal oriented, and we're a team. We emphasize goals quite a bit. I mean, every week they have to establish meet goals and all kinds of stuff. So they're learning how to be goal driven, but his preparation will be top notch as well.
And then on the girls' side, Alexa Shively, she's a lone state qualifier, but she qualified for the triple jump with a fourth-place finish. Wasn't a PR for her, but she realizes that there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, and she's a pretty smart kid, too. And Coach Thornton's done fabulous keeping her going and keeping her moving forward in her jumps and all those horizontal jumps. But she's another kid that's probably going to have to do some more things for us down the road. And she's going to be part of that 4x1 as well. But, yeah, she's got a shot. If she hits one, all it takes is one good, solid jump where you put everything together. And she has that potential to do that.
And knowing that Coach Thornton is working with her, he's coached some really good long jumpers and triple jumpers over the years, so he knows all the tricks in the book, and hopefully Alexa listens to him.
Oh, yeah. She'll soak all that in. He'll have her ready to go, and it'll be exciting to see what she does.
Well, I was walking the infield yesterday. Somebody brought up an interesting thought about the way Kansas qualifies for state, of course, the regional meets and top four finishers in each event. Has there been any talk or any discussion about going to the collegiate style of qualifying for state using times, and or is that just going to just make it too complicated to try to figure out who gets to go?
Well, there's a push right now. Mike Cooper from Shawnee Mission Northwest, he's been trying to get this through for years. What happens in the regional is the top four placers qualify, which I like. I don't want to go back to what we used to do where you had three and then you had to wait 2 days to see who the fourth was. I don't like that at all. But I think what we need to do is go with his system. He's done all the data, all the research, and he's figured out that over the years, because some regionals like ours, generally ours, in the jump, like yesterday in the boys' long jump, okay, there's several kids that are going to be left home that are 22, potentially 23-foot long jumpers that aren't going to go, and you're going to get some 18 and 19s in. So what we're hoping we can get past through the state is that if you have a fifth that meets a qualifying mark, then that person would qualify as well. And that would only add at the state meet one flight or one heat to any one particular event. So that's kind of in the works. It's going to take some time, but we're making progress.
Yeah, because I know at the collegiate level, you could qualify at any meet if you hit either consideration time or an automatic qualifying time, and you're considering.
Correct.
and kind of the same way that swimming does. I didn't know if that's something that was been in discussion, or if with as many track and field athletes that you have competing in all the classifications, if that would just be a monumental test trying to keep track of who's automatically qualified, and how do you set an automatic qualifying time and a consideration time? Yeah. Where do you set all that stuff? And
well, that work has been done, and like I said, so that fifth place mark could be an automatic qualifier with a certain mark. So that's kind of where it's headed, very similar to that.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to visit with you about before we let you go, Coach. Earlier this week, Hattie Cooper signed to compete and go to school at Emporia State in track and field. And you made the comment that she was the 117th student athlete that had signed to compete collegiately since you've been the head coach at Emporia High. And I think that's just a tremendous representation of the quality of athletes that come out of your program and that are at Emporia High. But you've done a tremendous job of preparing student athletes to be collegiate athletes, and there have been a number of them that have gone on to have tremendous college careers. And that's something that you have to be, and your whole coaching staff has to be pretty proud of, the number of student athletes that you've prepared enough that colleges want them to be a part of their program.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're extremely proud of that. You know, and it's just not me. It's good coaching. It's good kids. It's our entire staff. It's a collective effort. That's 117 kids that have gone on to the next level in some capacity, whether that's NAIA, Division II, Division I, junior college, KCAC. There's a fit for kids that love track and field and want to try to compete at the next level.
Well, Coach Wells, congratulations on another good season for your athletes. Look forward to seeing you down in Wichita this coming Friday and Saturday as your athletes compete. And hopefully I'll have a lot to talk about on Saturday after Saturday's all done. And hopefully we'll have six athletes picking up medals for you at the state track meet.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, Greg. And, you know, we appreciate all that you do to come out and talk to kids all the time. Those kids look forward to that. So, you guys have done a great job. And hopefully our kids will go to the meet and get prepared and enjoy the process and hopefully come back with some medals.
All right. Thanks, Coach Wells. And we'll see you later in the week when I come out and talk to a couple of those athletes before state. And definitely look forward to seeing your guys and girls compete at state next week.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
That's Emporia High track and field coach Randy Wells joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. As he joined us on the Sutherland's studio line, Emporia's complete home improvement store for over 25 years. And before we go into our next break, Emporia High will be sending six athletes to compete in six events. But we'll have our hands full covering area athletes as well. As yesterday at the 1A regional at Burlington, Lebo will be sending 15 athletes from 10 events. Olpe qualified 11 athletes for 10 events. Hartford qualified 8 athletes for 8 events. Madison will be sending 7 athletes to compete in 8 events. Waverly, 10 athletes to qualify in 8 events. Hamilton will have 2 athletes competing. Southern Coffee County will be sending in an athlete. Mission Valley will have 5 athletes competing in 7 events. In 3A, Burlington qualified for 17 events. Osage City had 7 athletes qualify for 10 events. Council Grove had 9 athletes qualifying for 9 events. And also on Thursday in 2A, Linden qualified athletes for 8 events. Chase County qualified athletes in 11 events. Northern Heights had athletes qualify for 13 events. And Burlingame had athletes qualify for 5 events. And just from Tuesday, the multiple event qualifiers, Brock Griffin of Chase County in the 100 and 400 meter dash, Braden Marcotte of Linden in the 16 and the 3200 meter run, Cooper Hamlin of Northern Heights in the 16 and 3200 meter run, Braden Hines of Northern Heights in the long jump and the triple jump, Tegan Hines of Northern Heights in the 16 and the 3,200-meter run. Matthew Heckman of Burlingame qualified for both the 400 and the high jump, so also qualifying for multiple events. McKenna French in both the shot put and the javelin. Chase County girls 4x400 and 4x800 relay, also qualifying for state. So a number of those athletes. And from yesterday's, especially from the 1A at Burlington, the big meet belonged to Bryson Turner of Madison. He won the long jump, triple jump, the 100-meter dash, and the 200-meter dash, and had a PR in the long jump. So he'll be going to state and have a chance to have a tremendous state meet. Casey Helm of Madison qualified for both the discus and the shot put. Braden Weiss of Volpe, the discus and the shot put. Brooklyn Jones of Lebo, the javelin, the 400, and she'll also be part of the 4x400 relay. Bonnie Romig of Waverly in the javelin and the shot put. Abby Peak of Lebo in both the pole vault and the high jump. Trinity Wendell, the high jump and the 4x800 relay. Heather Sontag of Lebo, the discus and the shot put. Lane Bartley of Waverly, the 110 and 300 hurdles. Lily Hudson of Madison, the 16 and the 3,200-meter run. Cody Cleveland of Hartford, the 16 and the 3,200-meter run. Connor Cuser of Olpe, the 300 hurdles, and also part of the 4x8 and 4x4 relays. Darren Hines of Olpe, the 800, along with both the 4x8 and 4x4. And Caleb Durst of Lebo in the 32 and the 4x800 relay. So a lot of area athletes will be competing in multiple events, and I'm looking forward to what should be a very fun Friday and Saturday for Emporia High and area athletes as well. We'll take our first break, and we'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com as we continue on this Saturday morning. And one thing I did also want to mention, we talked about track and field, but also Emporia High girls swimmers yesterday in the preliminary round at state. Didn't qualify for final swims today, but they had two events that had season-best swims. In the 200 free relay, Ryan Peak, Brooklyn Wiltz, Allison Brown, and Ariana Hamilton, they finished 18th, but they had a season-best time. And the same four swimmers finished 19th place in the 400 free. They went into state seeded 24, so they improved on their seed, but they also improved on their seed time by over 4 seconds. They are almost 5 seconds faster than what their seed time was. So congratulations to those four swimmers on an outstanding finish to their season. Brooklyn Wiltz also swam in the 50 free, and she finished in 30th place. But congratulations to Brooklyn on her senior year and finishing it at state. Emporia High still has two divers competing today in the finals. Cadence Vincent is in second place, and J.C. Stettler, I believe, is in eighth place going into today's finals. And those will be going on later on this afternoon. But congratulations to the Emporia High Girls Swim and Dive Team members that made it to state and then really had, as we talked with Coach Randy Wells, when you have your season best times, you can't ask for much more than that. And congratulations to Ryan, Brooklyn, Allison, Ariana for having their season best times in both the 200 free and the 400 free relays. An outstanding job. And good luck to Cadence and J.C. Stettler for making it to the finals. Divinity Gardner also qualified for the finals, but Coach Barbara Clark texted me and said that she would not be diving today. But Cadence and J.C. still have, and Cadence definitely has a shot at maybe earning a state championship, so good luck to her. Also, congratulations to the teams that earned trips to state in both baseball and softball. Couple of area softball teams earned trips to state. Mission Valley, both baseball and softball teams earned trips to state, so congratulations to them and good luck to them. And Council Grove softball team also earned a trip to state, so congratulations to the Council Grove softball team on earning a trip to state and good luck to them. Again, I believe Thursday, Friday are dates for state softball and baseball, and of course track and field is set for Friday and Saturday. A lot of going on at state. And last week, before I forget about mentioning Brendan Keenholtz, tennis player for Emporia High, he finishes in 11th place at the 5A state tournament. That allows Emporia High as a team, and he was the only member to finish 14th at state. So congratulations to Brendan Keenholtz, senior tennis player, finishing in 11th place. He went 4-3 in his matches, so he won more matches than he lost at state. So congratulations to Brendan Keenholtz on an outstanding senior season for him in tennis. With that, it's time to select our Complete Works Athletes of the Week. And for Emporia High, we're going to the Emporia High boys golf team, who will be playing at state on beginning on Monday down in Winfield. And this past Monday at regionals, Brooke Souter finished in first place, took medalist honors at regionals. Emporia High as a team finished in first place to qualify for state. So Brooke Souter is our Complete Works Athlete of the Week for Emporia High. Joining him at state will be Caden Massey, Nolan Jacob, Hudson Souter, and Will Walker, as Emporia High will have five golfers competing at state, trying to make a run at a state championship. For Brooke Souter and Caden Massey, it will be their second consecutive state tournament appearances, and wish all five of them good luck on Monday. Their goal is to qualify as a team for Tuesday's play, and that's when they'll determine who the champions are. Again, in state golf, they go to a two-day. They will play 36 holes. After the first day, they'll make a cut. I think it's the top maybe six teams that go on as teams, and then there are a certain number of individuals that will also advance on to the second day of play. Again, 5A being held at down in Winfield. 2A will be played at the Emporia Golf Course. And for our Area Athlete of the Week, I know we've selected him once already this season, but after yesterday's performance at the 1A regional track meet at Burlington, Madison's Bryson Turner, four gold medals, had a PR in the long jump. He also qualified in the triple jump, the 100-meter dash, and the 200-meter dash, as he had a dominating meet at that 1A regional. And we wish him well at state, but Bryson Turner of Madison is our Complete Works Athlete of the Week for our area athletes. So Bryson Turner of Madison, our Area Athlete of the Week, and Brooks Souter of the Emporia High Boys Golf Team, our Emporia High Athlete of the Week. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with our final segment right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmontAuto.com.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember, getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 14 KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. As we get down to our final segment, as one thing I did want to mention, coming up on Tuesday, Capbackers will be making a stop in Emporia. They'll be in Emporia on Tuesday during the noon hour. They'll be out at the Emporia Fitness Building at 12th and Industrial Road. And if you need more information, I'm sure you can contact the folks out at Emporia Fitness. And I believe there's a place online at kstatesports.com where you can purchase tickets in advance for that particular get-together. Of course, the Capbackers are always a good time, and they will have Jerome Tang, the new head men's basketball coach, in tow for that particular get-together. A chance to hear from him coming up on Tuesday, along with other K-Staters. Here in the next over the next 10 minutes, I thought we'd take some time and talk a little Royals baseball. We bring in Sean Thornton. We'll call him our resident Royals expert. I don't know.
I guess.
But, you know, the Royals, I guess the best way to put it with the Royals, they're frustrating. Because you see that there are players out there who could be making a difference but aren't being given a chance to make a difference. And when you're struggling like the Royals are, you would hope that some of those young guys, let's find out if they can do it.
Yeah, what's the old saying of the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over again but expecting different results, and sometimes it feels like that with the Royals. So there's a lot of frustration there with the offense. Obviously has been a big talking point over the last few weeks, and with the firing of Terry Bradshaw, that's actually been addressed at least a little bit.
And, you know, you look at last night's game with the Twins, they out-hit the Twins. They unfortunately don't get the hits with runners in scoring position when it could make a difference, and that's what the Twins were able to do, get hits when they had opportunities to score, and that's what they did. And unfortunately, the Royals, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride here the last couple of weeks. They'll have one good game, and then they'll stink it up, and then they'll have a couple of good games, and they'll stink it up. And consistency has been one of the issues with the Royals, not only offensively, but also pitching-wise. And it goes not only from game to game and pitcher to pitcher, but also for each pitcher from game to game. Daniel Lynch last night, after having really probably, three really good starts in a row, then he goes out and has a bad one. And that's going to happen because it's baseball. But you'd like to see some other pitchers to have a little more consistency.
When you talk consistency with the starting rotation, Greinke's been really consistent so far this year. For the most part, Brad Keller has. I know he's had a start or two where it's been a little bit rougher, but for the most part, he's been pretty consistent. But the younger pitchers, it's totally a kind of a crapshoot of what you're going to get with them on a regular basis, because you mentioned Daniel Lynch has pitched really good, but he had kind of a rough outing last night. Brady Singer, who struggled early this year out of the bullpen for the Royals, got sent down to Omaha, worked on throwing that third pitch, throwing the changeup a little bit more, comes back earlier this week and looks amazing which it's like, where's that guy been? And that he actually threw the changeup. I believe it was he threw it 16 times, 9 times for strikes. So he actually finally, we've been hearing for like 2 years now, he needs to throw that third pitch if he wants to be a big league starter. Actually started to do that earlier this week, and he did get sent back down to Omaha, but I have a feeling we're going to see him sooner rather than later, so he'll be back before we know it.
Yeah, the Royals made the move yesterday of sending Carlos Hernandez back to Omaha, and I was kind of surprised that it wasn't Brady Singer who was called up to fill that starting void, but they brought up a couple of guys when they also placed Bolaños on the injured list, and when you look at it, both Peacock and Griffin last night had pretty good outings.
Yeah, and Foster Griffin's kind of that story of former first-round draft pick for the Royals. He got to appear in a game, I believe it was 2020, and he got hurt like first game, and he hasn't been back to the majors. So just him getting back is kind of a big deal for the Royals at this point.
He had Tommy John, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then Matt Peacock has a pretty good solid outing. I think he had a scoreless inning, and so did Foster Griffin. Foster Griffin had the scoreless inning, and Matt Peacock retired the final four batters to close out the game. But hopefully they can figure out the bullpen and figure out the starting pitching, and then find a way to get things going. And I know in Kansas City there's a lot of talk amongst the media people, especially sports talk, of what they think the Royals need to do, and one of them is they need to change pitching coaches, and another one is maybe they need to look at changing upper management a little bit. But the Royals, over their history, haven't been ones to, even when Ewing Kauffman had it, he was pretty loyal, and he wasn't one to go out just fire people to fire people, and you have to do something pretty drastic to get it. But somewhere along the line, we were talking before this morning, and when you start looking at the Royals, you know, Dayton Moore, yes, he did put together the team that played in two consecutive World Series, something no other Royals team has done, won a World Series. But when you look at his overall picture of work, you know, granted, when he took over the Royals, they were in really bad shape, and he tried to get them into better shape. But after 2015, the Royals have not been able to sustain any type of winning.
Well, the other part to that, for me anyway, is, you know, it doesn't take 7-8 years each time to do a rebuild. Rebuilds do take a little bit of time for major league teams, but they don't take 7 to 8 years every single time, and that's what we've seen with the Royals, which is really the frustrating part. And you look at Dayton Moore, he's going to reach 16 years with the Royals next month because he started in June of 2006. So in 16 years, he's had 3 winning seasons. At some point, and he was talking a lot earlier this week when they had the firing of Terry Bradshaw, or last week, whichever one it was, I can't remember. They all just blend together. And he was talking a lot about accountability. And 16 years and only 3 winning seasons, to me, there should be a little bit of accountability there for the fact that that's all we've seen, 3 winning seasons, and we're getting closer and closer to 2 decades.
And, you know, when I look at the Royals, you know, obviously when to win that World Series in 2015, they traded off some pretty good prospects as far as pitching is concerned. That probably could have helped them bridge the gap a little bit more to get to the group of pitchers they have now. And they let a couple of good position players go during that time. But they really had, you would think they'd been able to find a way to, you know, either through acquisition, trading some veteran guys somewhere along the line, saying, hey, here's some veteran guys that we have that are playing well right now. Let's see if we can get some younger guys that are closer to being ready to play and build that way. Granted, I'm no general manager, and I understand it takes 2 to tango, and you have to have somebody who's willing to trade with you. If they're not able to do that, either they feel like that their guys are the ones that are going to lead them, or nobody else thinks that they're prospects are worth anything.
One of the best things about Dayton Moore is probably also one of his worst things, which is loyalty. And sometimes he's loyal to a fault. And you look at somebody like Whit Merrifield, and he probably should have been dealt sometime in the last couple of years, and the Royals would have been able to stockpile at least a couple of prospects out of a deal like that. But he set the stakes really high for what he wanted in return for Whit Merrifield, and they weren't able to make a deal, so they stuck with him. And it's kind of one of those things, you look at it now, and we're starting to see the regression years of Whit Merrifield, and that pretty much means we've seen peak Whit Merrifield at this point. So at this point, it's not going to get better. It's probably going to be gradually getting worse and worse.
And there are a number of players that fall under that category. You know, Carlos Santana is one player I know that is drawing the ire of a lot of Royals fans and media in Kansas City. Why is he still on the roster? He's not doing anything. Well, he hits a home run last night, so the Royals are probably thinking, well, see, he can still play. He can still do some good things. Yes, he can. But the overall picture, is he going to – and if you're in a rebuild, let's find out – and you're looking at maybe 2023-24 as being that year where you're going to start competing, then let's bring up the guys who are down in Omaha who are performing at a level that says, hey, it's time to find out whether these guys can play at the major league level.
I think the saying is always, I would rather lose with promising young rookies that have basically they haven't reached their ceiling yet than having a bunch of aging veterans on the team that you know they've already reached the top of the mountain. So at this point, that's kind of, I think, what a lot of Royals fans would like to see. Would like to see Nick Prado get called up. And granted, he just came back from an injury, but he is starting to heat up again. He hit a couple home runs the other night. Vinny Pasquantino has been awesome all year in Omaha. And there's been at least two or three times this year that I've kind of sat there and like, can you call up Vinny? Like, it'd be great to see him. And they're going to run into a little bit of a logjam at some point because they have a lot of first base DH types on that roster. But, you know, they talked about being more transactional, and I don't think we've seen the Royals be actually more transactional. And I feel like we're at a point, need to see some moves and need to see some dedication to at least pick a road that you want to go down with this team and go that direction.
And that goes with both, because there are some pitchers that are having some pretty good outings. And I understand, you know, you want to use AAA as a developmental, but somewhere along the line it gets to a point, okay, you've got guys down in AA who are, you know, maybe you have to wait maybe a couple more, another month to find out, okay, do we move them up? And are there guys at the, you know, I think that 40-game limit, when the Royals hit that 40-game mark, because that seems to be the mark for Dayton Moore, 40 games, we'll have a really good idea of what that player can do. If those players haven't been performing up to the 40 game, it'll be interesting to see what Dayton Moore does. And that would put them, middle part of June? And, you know, the Royals right now are towards the bottom. After last night, they're 8.5 games out. So they're starting to get a little further behind. But all it takes is a couple of 5-game winning streaks back-to-back, and you're getting back towards that 500 mark and make a move. You don't want to get too far behind where it's too difficult to even catch up.
Well, the interesting part I have found with this team is going into the season, I really didn't see anybody of note, especially like a lot of baseball writers, mentioning that the Royals were going to be a contender. The only really time you heard some mention of the Royals being a contending baseball team was from the Royals front office. Because even like fans, there were a lot of fans like myself that were like, we have pretty much the same roster from last year. Why should I expect more than the 74 wins that they got last year? And the front office kept pushing the contender thing. Well, that's kind of come back and bite them in the butt a little bit, because now I think fans expected that when the front office talked about it. And now that they haven't delivered, they're kind of in a little bit of a hole right now to try to dig themselves out of. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of months and what moves they make to hopefully improve the team.
Yeah, in my mind, I think the next 30 days, middle part of June, will be a key point for the Royals. If they're still wallowing where they're at and haven't put together a couple of nice runs and people got on fire, and they're going to have to say, hey, it's time to make the move, get some of those younger guys up, and see where we can go, and that way we can go into 23 knowing exactly what we have and where we maybe need to make some transactions to help make the club better to be contender in 23 and definitely aiming towards 24.
I hope so. I hope we see some moves to where it feels like a direction, because it really has felt to me like there was one direction, they had one vision, one plan, and once it went sideways, it kind of has felt like they didn't have any backup plan ready to go. And that to me is really kind of an issue with the front office, that guys like Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo, it kind of like makes me wonder whether or not this is the group that can actually get this team to the next level.
Yeah, they have some pieces.
Yeah, talent's there. I mean, I don't think anybody argues that. The talent is there.
And maybe it's how it's being used. Maybe it's how they're being coached to pitch, to hit. And, hopefully the hitting, with the change in the hitting coach, and if there's a change in philosophy, or maybe it's just a change in the voice that's spreading the message. But, you know, if you want, and I'll go back to 2014. My question at that time was, does David Glass really want to win? Well, they found a way to win down the stretch in 2014, got him into the playoffs, and had a run that took him all the way to the World Series, and then in 2015 took him to the World Series, and then 2016 they said, well, let's see if we can't ride this wave a little bit longer, and we found out that wave died out. And then from then, when Moustakas and Hosmer weren't re-signed, amongst
others.
Actually
re-signed.
Yeah.
He actually came back, but, you know, Hosmer left and Lorenzo Cain left and Alcides Escobar and that whole group there. Alcides came back too, so you had both of them. But, yeah, when that core kind of went away, it kind of became the beginning of the rebuild, even if front office didn't want to call it that. But that's when the rebuild kind of officially began. But, you know, we're at this point on like year five or six, so it's like,
oh, that
we should be seeing something at this point.
Yeah, that World Series was 7 years ago.
Yeah. So, you know, you get past 17 and you're like, that's when everything kind of fully went into motion. And hopefully, you know, we start to really see that, because, it, like I said, it doesn't take 7-8 years for every rebuild.
And when you look back at that core, a couple of them they acquired via the transaction. Lorenzo Cain, along with Alcides Escobar, both of them acquired in the Zach Greinke trade,
right,
with Milwaukee. And maybe, I don't know if the Royals have anybody of Zach's caliber to trade right now, except for maybe Bobby Witt, because I don't think even Salvador Perez right now is at that level where you could get that type of talent for Salvador Perez, because he's on the downside.
Well, the good news is they have a lot of young prospects, and at some point they probably need to decide which ones to keep and which ones to maybe trade for other parts. And I think that's the decision that's going to have to happen fairly soon at this point.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see how it all turns out. Royals back in action tonight, taking on the Minnesota Twins. It'll be Brad Keller on the mound for the Royals. That game will get underway at 6:10 tonight, with pregame coverage starting at 5:30. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning Sports Talk. Thanks to Sean for stopping in and talking some Royals baseball. Again, congratulations to Brick Souter of the Emporia High Boys Golf Team. He is our Emporia High Complete Works Athlete of the Week. And to Bryson Turner of the Madison Track Team, he is our Area Athlete of the Week, brought to you by Complete Works. And we thank Complete Works for bringing you our Athletes of the Week throughout the year, fall, winter, and spring. And they will also be providing us plaques when we announce our Area and Emporia High Athletes and Coaches of the Year, which will be coming up here in the near future. We've got the voting process underway, and we'll be selecting a male and female student athlete of the year for both Emporia High and Area High School, and also coaches of the year for both Emporia High and the Area. And we'll have that announcement later this month, or maybe first part of June. And again, also thanks to Emporia High Track and Field Coach Randy Wells for joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll be back next week with another edition of Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmontAuto.com.
96.9 FM.